Amen. Amen. Give me big, give a big cheer for Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Amen. Wow. What a great day. You can sit down, you guys. This is awesome. Woo. We have to rejoice and be glad. He commands it, but he enables it. When he tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Those are his words, and he tells us that's what we're to do. But the good news is he gives us the grace. He releases the grace. Grace is an empowerment. Grace is not just, oh, this is unmerited favor of God somehow, some definition. It's the empowerment of God Almighty. So when the grace is released, he gives us the grace in every situation, not just to endure, but to rejoice. Amen? Amen. Let's give a clap for Jesus. This is a man. There are no words to describe yesterday, except thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody have a hard time settling down last night? It's like, wow, our new friends. If you're new today, well, let's say you're friends from yesterday. We didn't know you before. So yesterday you came, and today you're here. Okay, our guests, would you just be on your feet? Come on, each one of you, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Come on, stand up. Everybody give a big cheer for these new friends. Come on. It's amazing what God did. Come on. So good, so good. We love you. We love you. You can sit down. That's awesome. I don't know about you. We've been doing this a long time. You know, it seems like a long time, 14 years, but yesterday there was something, I don't know how to put it really, but there was just something dynamic in the spirit that was even a greater increase from other years. I don't know if you could sense the power and the presence and the glory and the might of God. Anybody with me on that? It was just amazing, and the unity that was here was just flowing. My beloved husband was so on fire with love and grace. His whole head was red. His face was red. It was just the power and the fire and the glory of God. And he came home like that. I said, honey, you're just like all red. So I was a little bit red myself, but he was out there. It was great. So as you know, I went through the day. Jesus has healed me, and I'm gaining strength. You know that? It's just, he already healed me. And what I shared briefly with you, very briefly, which will continue to be brief right now anyway, is that when I was injured overseas a few weeks ago, there was every indication that there could be some, you know, kind of a major thing going on. Let's just say that. And when we've been checked, each time I've been checked, even though the outer, you know, ability and mobility was a little sketchy, what we saw was there are no broken bones, there are no torn ligaments, there are no tendons, torn tendons. And you know what? A lot of people say, well, you know, that happens with sprains. I've had sprains before. This was not something that I've ever experienced before. So I want to give glory to God. And so I've had some crutches, and I have this wild boot that weighs about 4 tons. You know, and you kind of need heels on your other leg to be able to step up right here. But anyway, for today, I'm being obedient with it. So, but I came yesterday with crutches, and I couldn't use them in Ghana. But anyway, when we were up here, and my husband asked me to pray for healing, Jesus just came in and finished what he had been starting. I gave the crutches to him, and my husband was holding, Pastor Bill was holding the crutches, as so many people received healing. I wasn't thinking about this. But he was. So the crutches are down. We brought them just in case of because God's God. But I'm not using them. And this is a miracle, another miracle. It's another step. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yay. Yeah. And we do have another miracle to report. I'm not going to go into the details of that either. And that is that someone that we were really linked with and prayed for very seriously, who is on the verge of death and a very wicked type of situation that's kind of involved in all of this stuff going on here. Let's just leave it at that. But we had the report, not only did he get saved because he couldn't speak and just was able to communicate with eyes, but he also is living and he didn't die. And he's alive, he's getting better, he's sitting up. Yes. It's a major miracle. Everybody in Cote d'Ivoire is like, wow, how did this happen? And in Ghana. So we're just rejoicing at the goodness of God. So praise the Lord. And one thing that happened, I've only told a couple of people. We were in Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire when this happened. And then, you know, a few days later, we took a rugged road trip to Ghana and went did our Kingdom Bible School up on our land. And I waited till the end before I opened my mouth about this. But every time I was on my bed, which was all the time, except when I was imparting at Kingdom Bible School, and they'd pick me up and they'd carry me across the way and then carry me back. Honestly, this is not kidding. I mean, everybody would come in the room. We'd have dinner in there. We'd have some team meetings sometimes and all that. But when I was on my bed there, there was a sound from heaven that was playing constantly in my head, constantly. And if I forgot about it, coming back from Kingdom Bible School, and I'd get my leg propped up and iced and all that kind of stuff, just laying there, and there it would start again. And it went on the entire time I was there. And it sounded, excuse me, can somebody run and get some water, please? Thank you. It ran the entire time that we were there, and even afterwards, even when we got back down to Ghana. And it sounded like a low-playing keyboard sound, some instrument, and I would just smile, excuse me, and start to laugh, because I didn't prompt it, I didn't direct it, and it would be very specific worship songs that had no words, and it was the sound of heaven, and then I would find myself just worshiping and rejoicing in those same words. Thanks, sweetie, appreciate that so much. Thank you. And it was such, thank you, it was such a blessing, and it was such a gift. I didn't ask for it, but it was just as though the Lord said, honey, while you're here, I'm going to give you something that's just a big blessing for you, because he knows how I love to worship, and I was a little bit contained. So I'm laying there, or sitting up, and here it comes. And every time, and it would just go, I'm not thinking it, it would just happen. And it was on the entire time, and then all the way back down to Ghana, and a little bit in the airport and on the way home, and then it stopped. And it was all about the glory of God, worshiping God. You will worship me. And many of them were known songs. So when I heard it, and it was as clear as though someone was standing right next to me playing the keys, it was so amazing. So that was a little blessing that God gave me in the midst of this interesting event in my life. But I just want to thank God for that and let you know that he will speak to you. He will nurture you. He will give you what you need. He will come to you. He is with you. Jesus is so real, as you heard last night. He is so, so alive, and he's so huge, and he's so grateful. Grateful to his Father for sending us here, and grateful that we have many new lives in the kingdom. Many aren't here tonight or today, but many are. Many got saved. Many got healed. Many got set free. And I believe all of us were touched. And so I'm just so grateful for everything the Lord is. And we just want to continue to testify. And we just encourage you folks who stood up, tell everybody that you know. Back at Rescue of Hope, Refuge of Hope, at the Y, or wherever you're from, tell them about Jesus. Just don't even hold back. Don't shrink back at all. Wherever you are, just say, Jesus loves you. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you what he's done for me. And the Lord will back you up. So that's what God's done, and that's just the beginning of it. But I know Pastor Bill has a message for us this morning. But we also have pictures and videos. I don't know what they are. Just know Andy said he's got something going. So are we ready for that? Okay, you want to shut the lights off, and then we'll see a little bit about what happened yesterday. It was amazing. Dance, drama, food, oh my gosh, all of it. Shopping. So there's no words. Okay, I guess that's a store. Kmart. Woo! Thank you guys, all you shoppers. Here we go. Some good friends. Hi. Look at this. Look at all these blessings. Oh, gift wrapping was amazing yesterday. Thank you for the shop in the back, Rachel. Oh my gosh, this is great. Andrea, I never got back there. There's some of our new friends. This is good. And the dance, we saw new dance moves we've never seen before. It was so great. I loved it. It was so good. And this drama was amazing. Thank you for all those who wrote it and acted in it. Beautiful. Just such a memory. Anything else? Yes, there was a conclusion. Ah, amazing. That man of God is my favorite. Come on. Oh, that was so great. See if you see yourself in there, friends, today. I love that. Grandfather and grandson. It's a big picture. There's a good one. That's our Josiah. Way to go, Zaya. All right, the next generation. Come on, Haley. That's awesome. Showing the love of Jesus. Look at the response. Come on. This was just such an amazing turnout. Oh, my. Thank you, kitchen crew. You were so wonderful. Yeah, food was great. Preparation. We had so many donors. Oh, my. So good. Are we going backwards? We're going forwards. Okay, there's a fuller picture. There's a great family. Yeah. Oh, hey. Do we have a video? Oh, good. Play the video. Come on. Put the sound up on this one.
Do you feel that the pain is lessening?
Yes.
Yes. That's our Jesus. He's all spiritual. Yes. Let's come to thank you.
Yes,
let's finish up. Bless me. Just to do a real quick run as fast as you can over to that man in the blue. Right there. Run back. Come on. Challenge you. We really don't do that too often at Gift of Christmas, but see that man sitting there in the red jacket right down at the table? As fast as you can. Get out of his way, guys.
Out of his way now.
Out of his way. Run down to him and run back. Today. Oh, good. It's increasing every day. What do you say? Couldn't wait to get here. Hey, stand up so everybody can see. There's Wesley right there. Come on. Woo! That's so sweet. Amen. Okay, is that all? Are we finished?
Yeah.
That's
it? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I want to personally thank everyone. Amanda, stand up, Mandy. You did a great job. She oversaw this with lots of help. Good job, Mandy. But you had a great team, tons of people. So thank you for everyone. Thank you to everyone for all the work that you've done, all that you sewed into. We had so many people outside of this group right here. I think there were about 15 different groups that donated all this marvelous food. At least 15, right, Mandy? I mean, come on. And all the other things that we are needing to put on something like this. So feel free to continue to contribute so we can take care of all things. But praise God for what we do have. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you again. So, babe, are you ready? Kiddos, you get to go to Kingdom Land today. Yes! We have some new people. You just go this way, sweetheart. That way, right there. Wow. Treasure. Thank you all for saying yes and helping. It was a beautiful picture of unity yesterday.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Need help? It's good. Why don't we pray? Father, we give you praise, Lord, for all you're doing in each of our lives. We all need you. We're all children. We're just learning. But Father, we don't have to be childish. We want to be childlike. We don't want our own way. We don't want to whine, complain. We want to come into your presence like a child and receive the inheritance that you have to give us. Father, you say in your word that you give good gifts to your children. I stand and say, I want to be a child in your presence. I want to enter in with an open, humble heart. And I know that you'll humble me even more. God, I need it. I need to be independence on you, in a place of dependence on you, in a state of dependence on you. I don't want to declare my independence. I want to declare my dependence on you. Father, today I'm yours. Today I ask that each person here present themselves before you, Lord, and listen to your Holy Spirit teach them far beyond my words, far beyond what I share. The Holy Spirit within will teach each person here. Listen for his voice. Maybe you've never thought you heard it before. If you've come to know Jesus in the last 24 hours or the last 24 years, you have heard the Spirit of God, because he was the one drawing you. He was the one speaking to your heart. Open up to him again today and receive all he has to speak to you. Everything. Every drop of grace. Every bit of mercy. Open yourself up to it today. We pray, God, that you will help them, each person, including myself, open up our hearts to you as you teach us all from your word and from your spirit, from the Logos and from the Rhema. Lord, big words that just mean we're hearing you, Lord. We're wanting to hear you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, that was pretty good. Amen. All right. Got some new voices in here. They say amen. Well, last night was amazing. Awesome, awesome. You know, there was a time while it was sharing Jesus last night that I knew who still needed to come forward. That's amazing. You know, I thought, I can't quit right now. There's another person that's supposed to come up here. And I could look at that person and see that they were going to come. They were going to come up here. And so I couldn't quit. I had to keep talking. I had to keep sharing. I had to keep, you know, giving out the invitation, because he was telling me that a particular person was going to come up. You know, God's good that way. He wants to speak to us far more than we want to hear. We say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But do we really want to hear what he has to say to us? Because often it's a big challenge, isn't it? It's a big challenge. He says, oh, by the way, give me your life. Oh, by the way, I want to take your life from here and order your steps. Well, God, I'm used to running my own life. Yeah. But what about you putting me in charge? And let's see where this goes. So we offered that last night, and so many of you responded to that. Today we want to take the next step. I invited you to come back to take the next step, and here you are. And the rest of Frontline as well. So we have next steps to take. It doesn't matter if we've known the Lord 24 hours or less, or we've known him forever. Well, not forever. But since we received him. We need to know the next step. We need to know what he wants from us. And I'm going to say today that we need eyes to see. That's what he's been saying to me in the last couple weeks. Eyes to see. And there have been some people up here that have shared something about eyes to see. Places I've gone the last 2 weeks. They've said something about, we need eyes to see. You know, people thought they could see. The Pharisees thought they could see. The Sadducees in the Bible thought they could see. Jesus said, you're blind. You think you can see, but you're blind. But this blind man that I just healed, he's the one that can see. And he wasn't just talking about physically. He was saying, he sees me. He opened his eyes and saw me. He saw me before he opened his eyes. He knew I was the healer. So the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Some of us, over the course of our lives, have put our eyes on other things. Even after we become a believer, sometimes we put our eyes on other things, even though we know Jesus is the true jewel. Jesus is the true treasure. We start putting our eyes on other things. We start saying, oh, this business I'm building, this is the most important thing right now. I've got to do everything I can to build this business. And the truth is, that's a lie. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Because you can build a business by yourself, or you can build a business with Jesus and for his glory. Which would you rather do? Some people build their friends list on Facebook. If I have 248 friends, I need 249. In fact, I should round it out at 250. Because 250 friends means I'm somebody important. I'm somebody popular. And they think that having a lot of people interested in what they put on there. You know, I brushed my teeth today. And they put it on Facebook. Look, this one's clean. And they put it on Facebook. And then people respond, wow, that's the cleanest teeth I've ever seen. Whoa! What kind of toothbrush did you use? What kind of toothpaste did you use? Did you floss as well as brush? Did you use a manual toothbrush? Or did you use an electric toothbrush? Or what kind of toothbrush? And before long, they're off on nothingness. Trivial pursuit. Used to be a game. Now sometimes it's what people do. Trivial things. Rather than posting something about the creator of the universe, the powerful one that can change your life. I don't want to post trivial things on Facebook or anywhere else. I don't want to be involved in the trivial. I need people to challenge me not to be involved in the trivial. I easily go to that. Talk about the Indians and the Browns and Baker Mayfield. And, you know, we go, wow, this is so important that the Browns won some games. Whew, finally. Now Cleveland's right. No, 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 not. They need Jesus. They don't need wins. They need Jesus. I need more of Jesus. They need more of Jesus. We all need more of Jesus. That's the truth. Ephesians 1, if you have a Bible, turn there. If you don't, raise your hand and somebody will get one for you. Raise your hand. Yeah, raise your hand. Somebody will bring you one. Watch. I know they will. Because they're still serving from last night. They didn't quit. They will deliver a Bible that has Ephesians 1 in it. I know it. They're not going to deliver a Bible that skips Ephesians 1. You wait and see. It'll be in that Bible when they deliver it to you. It might be a slow process, but they'll get it to you. I'll read in the meantime. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. You know, you're not just a believer because you thought you should say yes to Jesus. You're a believer because of the will of God. Jesus started calling you to himself as you were in your mother's womb. He was calling you home. He's your creator, so he starts calling you home to his heart. He starts creating you and calling you home at the same time. And he's called you home all these years. Some of us responded a little earlier than others. Does it make any difference? No, because God can redeem the time. God can take a short life and magnify it into glory for his kingdom. So if you started late, don't worry about it. Start from here and go as far and as hard as you can to build his kingdom. To the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Somebody last night told me they were still a sinner. They had received Jesus recently, but they were still a sinner. They didn't receive him last night. They received him recently. And I'm still a sinner. Well, we sin, but we're called saints. Read through the New Testament. That's encouraging. I still will sin, but I'm called a saint. I have position of being a saint. So many people get saved and then they go through life, oh, I'm still just a sinner. Look, I just sinned. Well, you start giving up. But if you're called a saint, you keep shooting for that. You keep going for that. If you're called a sinner, you have nothing to shoot for. So you are saints, according to the Bible, who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You have that right now. If you've received Jesus, you have that right now. You don't have to say, well, I need every spiritual blessing. You already have it. It's whether you go to the bank of Jesus and withdraw from it. It's already in your account. As soon as you became a believer in Jesus, he put all this in your account. And it's up to you to access it. You don't have to work for it. You have to access it in the Spirit. And because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, because you received Jesus, it wasn't just a decision. A person came to live inside of you. God. Whoa. Bible says it's dunamis power. Dynamite is the word that comes from dunamis. I just like the word dunamis. Dunamis. Just sounds, you know, something to it. Gets me going. Dynamite. You know, dynamite. Dynamite. That's the kind of power that's inside of us through Jesus, coming in through the Holy Spirit. And so many people walk around going, oh, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. My life stinks. My body hurts. Everything's going wrong in my life. You have dunamis power inside of you. By the power of the Holy Spirit living inside you. How about accessing that for some of those problems? Then you have wisdom. How about accessing some of that for those problems? Then you have healing. How about accessing, going to the bank of Jesus and withdrawing every spiritual blessing that he has for you? What about that? Where's the whiners now? You won't be whining. You'll be winning. Just as he chose us in him, you were chosen. You didn't just stumble upon Jesus. He was looking for you. He's been seeking to save the lost. And you're one of them he's been seeking, calling you home. He chose you. You're chosen. What's that mean? I want you in my family. I want you at my table. And my table's never empty. It's just piled with good stuff that you can access. How much of it do you want? You want a crumb or you want the whole loaf? He is all about the whole loaf. He doesn't want you to have crumbs in life. Some of you have been living on crumbs. And Jesus has every spiritual blessing for you in heavenly places. How do you get there? Do you have to go to heaven to get it? Yes, but now. Not when you die. Everything will all be there for you. That's true. But you can go now. You don't have to wait. How many believe that? You don't have to wait. You don't have to stand in line and wait for heaven to happen and get these years going by and I'll get old and I'll get, and then I'll croak over and then I get to heaven. And everything's cool then. How about it being cool now? Facing every trial with the power of Jesus. Facing every sickness, every disease with the power of Jesus. What happened to the power of Jesus? It lives in us. We have to access it. We have to go and access it. This kingdom of God is where? Out here somewhere? Up in heaven somewhere? Where does it say the kingdom of God is? Within us. What? Do you feel like that you're carrying around the kingdom of God today? I don't. So what do I need to do? By faith, I need to believe this and then start accessing it. And lo and behold, it is there. You think I go around feeling like the kingdom of God is within me? I don't. I have to get over my unbelief about that. I don't feel like I'm carrying around the kingdom of God. When I come up here to preach, I feel like, bleh, most of the time. It's when he comes upon me and says, okay, we're doing this together, and I'm going to be the main one that speaks, I receive it. And the same for you. So you probably don't feel like you're carrying the kingdom of God around, but you can access it at any moment by just saying, I want you to be who you are through me right now. When we're in Ghana and we're facing some of the people we face over there, one-on-one or in a group, when we're in Cote d'Ivoire, when we're in Brazil, when we're in other places of the world, when we're in downtown Canton, when we're in this place and someone has a need right in front of us, I don't feel wise. I don't feel like I have anything to offer to them within myself. I have to go to the bank of Jesus and withdraw what they need. And I say, Jesus, I don't know what to say to this person. I have no idea. As they are explaining their problem to me, I don't even know where to start to give them any kind of guidance. And then it comes. And then it comes. See, the prophetic isn't just something where, oh, I received a word from God and I'll give you a word as a group or I'll give you a word as an individual and that will help you. Some of the prophetic is just as we're in front of a person and they have a need and they're explaining it to us and we have no idea what to say to them within ourselves. And we say, Jesus, give me what they need. Not what I need, what they need. And when it comes out of our mouth, it's life. It's life because I accessed God's account, not mine. I access my account. I've got some experience, and I know some of the Bible, and I know Jesus. But I don't know how to mix those for that person. I don't, but Jesus does. And he will give it to me. He'll give it to you, what you need for that person. And sometimes you might not hear exactly accurate. And when you're telling someone that's walked with Jesus longer about it, they say, well, you know, you could adjust it maybe just a little bit this way. You say, well, I heard right from Jesus. Well, maybe you could hear him a little clearer. How about that? And then you have a choice. Because God doesn't just use his own voice. He uses the voices of those that know him the longest and the best to help us. Every one of us needs that. Some help in just a little more accurately hearing Jesus. Can you go for that? Because I have a quote today you're not going to like. And it's going to be up here in a moment. That's not it, but it's going to be up here in a moment. Well, maybe before it's up there. God, your King, is not calling you to be a good American citizen. He is calling you to be a radical kingdom citizen. Some people in the Church of Jesus Christ in America want to be American Christians. I'm telling you, that's way too weak. That's like churchy Christians. That's like nothing happens other than us getting together Christians. That's like, let's have some Kool-Aid and cookies Christians. Hey, we'll add some Coke to it and really spike it up. Woo! Get some coffee going and get some caffeine, Christians. No, he wants radical kingdom, nutso freak job Christians. That's the only thing that works. So if we're Americans, get over it. There's something higher. Kingdom. Kingdom. I know people that come from other countries, they come here and they go, where are they praying for things? When are they praying? How come they're not praying and relying on their credit card? The people I'm from and I'm around, they're praying for things. They don't have a credit card. They only have Jesus. So someone this week was telling us, you know, a bunch of pastors, they were from another country, and they said, yeah, you don't even know what third world, they were actually from a second world country, but you don't know what it's like, third world. You know, we have to depend on God, and over here, you're just Americans. You just depend on everything that the government gives and everything else. And I thought to myself, that's kind of true, overall, generally. But I know some people that have decided to adopt a different culture, the kingdom culture. They decided to go for something higher and greater and mightier. They decided to access the Jesus Bank rather than the bank of the U.S. government or the bank that I have some stuff in. I have an account. I don't know about you, but my account always goes through my fingers. But when I go to Jesus, he's got something better than money. He's got answers. You know, if you go to Jesus and get healed, it saves you doctor bills. I don't know if anybody told you that. So why not go to him first and then see if you have to go to the doctor? You know, or he wants to use the doctor. We like doctors. I have a couple in my family. You know, but I think they would give me permission to go to Jesus first. Go to him first. Let's see what he does. And then we'll check out and see if the doctor's part of the process. That's kingdom rather than American. You with me? So don't just seek to be an American Christian. That's too weak. We've got to be a kingdom Christian. And sometimes America thinks we have all the answers because, you know, when there's a pothole out here, we call them up and say, fix it. I paid my taxes. Fix that pothole. Well, that might work in Jackson Township. That doesn't necessarily work in Canton. So it kind of depends on where you live, how well that works as an American, if you're with me. But overseas, there's potholes everywhere. And so people come out of the bush and they cover it with some dirt and then they're out there asking for some money. Pretty entrepreneurial of them. They're the ones, they're fixing their own holes out on the streets. They don't wait for the government. It would never be fixed. Or take 20, 30 years. Different culture. Let's depend on the powerful one. Was I reading Ephesians 1? Oh, yeah. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Excuse me. Predestined. Don't worry about the big name. Just figure out that he knew you and he wanted you. He knew you and he wanted you in his family, in his kingdom, sitting at his table. I don't know what that does for you, but that does wonders for me. You know, when you're short like I am, you're not asked to be on the basketball team. As a kid. When you're short like I am, they don't say, wow, we need you on the football line. Up there, you know, tight end or something. Nope, you don't get those opportunities. But if he chose me, you know, I had a hard time not being chose last when they did the kickball thing or the, you know, I beat out Flip. That was his name. That was the only guy I usually beat out. He was like 6 inches shorter than me, mean, but nobody wanted him on their team. I was nice, but short. So they let me go in front of Flip. But Jesus chose me. Jesus chose me, a small town. In Michigan, I know, it's hard. Michigan, son of a garbage man, chose me to go to the nations. Come on. He chose you. He predestined. He said, I want you. I want you. And I'm going to keep speaking to you until you come to me. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Freely bestowed on us. He's not holding anything back from us. In him we have redemption through his blood. By the way, we're going to verse 18. I'm trying to get there. This is just too good. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses. Some of you experienced that last night and forgave others. According to the riches of his grace. And he lavished on us, that he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In him also, we have obtained an inheritance. You know, so you can go to the bank. And you can go to the, you know, the place where they do the inheritance thing. And they're going to say, you know what? You got enough. You really have enough. Because somebody put a huge inheritance out there for you. It's huge. And guess what? We're not going to wait. We're going to start giving it to you right now. We're going to give that inheritance to you right now, so you can access the bank of Jesus and your inheritance account. Double. Double. He wants that for us. Have we thought about this recently? Having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. It was his will to give you an inheritance. It was his will to give you everything you needed. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It was his will. It was his desire. You don't have to talk him into it. You don't have to beg for it. You're a son. You're a daughter. You deserve it in his mind, in his heart. Oh, but I'm just getting started with this. He gives it to you before you're perfected. He gives it to you at the beginning when you deserve it the least, so you'll give him the greater glory. What if we worked at this thing and we were pretty good at it and we came to church every Sunday and we went to other nations and we preached the gospel and we were nice to people and we loved on people and we prayed over them for healing. We prayed to God. You know what? We were at prayer meeting. We didn't skip it. We were there. We were at every overnight and we did every fast that everything that Frontline offered, we did it. We'd say, I deserve some of that inheritance. I've been pretty good. I've been a real believer. I've been a kingdom person, not an American. I deserve it. It's not the way it works. He gives it to us at the beginning and says, access it for my glory. Bring glory to my name. Don't just access it for yourself for selfish reasons. Bring glory to my name. When you get healed, go out and heal others by allowing me to work through you and putting your hand out, and I will heal them through you. And you get to be part of the process. So Pastor Mary Pat, there was one or two that kind of laughed when she was up here and she had her foot and she's praying healing over people. There were a couple in the front, they were kind of like, you need healing. You need healing. Look at that foot. I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand. When she's praying out healing over people, they're getting healed, and she got some healing. It bounces back on you. That happened to me several years ago in India, and I've said it here before. I'm preaching Jehovah Rapha, God, your healer. Heal them, God, heal them. And Andy and Carly, they were going out. They were ministering to people. I was playing the guitar. Yeah, Jehovah Rapha. Everywhere I went, just that name was just released. People were getting healed. I went back to the hotel room. And I was, wait a minute. A condition I had for 2 years, struggled with for 2 years, was gone. And I hadn't prayed for myself since I went to India. I was praying healing while I needed healing myself. You see, there's no contradiction in the kingdom with that. We always need healing of something. Emotional healing. Physical healing. Do we just wait until we're perfect? Or do we reach out and start praying for people, and guess what? It splashes back on us. So, I understood what was going on. She's praying for healing because she has an anointing to do that. And there were people that were healed. But at the same time, she received some healing. She didn't need the crutches anymore. A step in her healing. That's what Jesus is like when you access him. To the end that we were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. You catching this? It's all to his glory. It's all to his glory. It's all to his glory. None of us deserve any of the glory. It's his glory that we're seeking for, to give to him. In him, you also, We're at 13. We're almost at 18. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. That means Holy Spirit moved into your apartment. He came into your life. It doesn't matter whether you feel him or not. Some people do, some people don't. Some people feel him rising up in worship. I saw some hands fluttering today. It wasn't just, you know, got her hands up. There was some like, whoa. They're sensing Holy Spirit's in the room. They're sensing Holy Spirit's in them and in the room. He can be in both places at the same time. We should be experiencing God in this place. Or it's just a joke. Coming to church and not experiencing God, that's a joke. What are we doing? He's powerful enough to be experienced. But you have to access that by faith, don't you? You have to say, I believe he's at work in me and I don't even feel it. I believe he's healing me and I don't even feel it. Or maybe you do feel it. I believe he cares about me and I'm feeling very lonely today. Or I'm feeling like I'm worthless today. I believe he loves me. And you know that belief will make a difference, just like it does for salvation. You have to continue to believe in faith beyond salvation. You come to Jesus by faith that he gives you, you access it, and then you come to him. He's been calling you. And so the same thing happens with every decision of life, just like the first decision. You keep accessing the faith he gives to you in order to believe him to be the big God that he is. So people coming to church that are discouraged, you're in the right place to see other people accessing and, hey, I want some of that. I want to get some of that. And if you look at it the right way, you're glad for them. You're blessed that they are accessing God and they're getting so much from him and they're maybe saying dreams, visions, pictures that they're hearing from him, seeing from him. Be excited about that, but also take that example and say, I want some of that action. And you'll be better off. Don't criticize. Don't go after them and say, oh, they always come up and give a dream or vision. They just think they're so close to God that, you know, they don't do anything wrong. I don't think so. Most people getting dreams and visions from God are kind of like shaking in their boots. Like, ooh, this is holy ground. Whoa, why did he choose me to get this? Whoa. It was like last night when I knew there were others that were going to come up and I looked at them and I could, and the Lord was like, he's coming up. Wait. Don't stop till he comes up. I'm like, oh, that's holy. I will not stop until that person comes up. And they came. They came. There were at least two or three like that. And one took a long time. And afterwards, he thanked me for waiting. Ah, God was dealing with me, man. He was dealing with me. I'm glad you waited. Thank you. And he puts his hand out and shakes my hand for waiting. That's because I felt like I was on holy ground, even knowing that, that God would reveal that to me. So most people aren't thinking, wow, I'm an all-star, man. I get a dream or a vision from God, and I give it to the body, and I just think I'm something else. Better not. Better not. Am I at 18 yet? Who is given, Holy Spirit, is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. He gives you the Holy Spirit and says, guess what? More's on the way. More's coming. And Holy Spirit, what more do you need? But God's going to just add on top of it and add on top of it and add on top of it. And then people ask questions of God. Like, well, he hasn't answered my questions yet. He doesn't need to answer one of our questions. He is the answer. Okay, Just him alone is the answer. You don't need any answers to any questions that you have. Now, you can ask them, and most of the time he's pretty, you know, nice about it, giving you some kind of indication or whatever, or leading you to a scripture. That's very kind of him and everything. But actually, if you just said, God, he's the answer to this question, that would be enough. And you, the kids get it. You know, every question you ask, they go, Jesus! Well, you know, when Moses, Jesus! And then, you know, when Esther, Jesus! The kids have it. We need to learn from the kids. Every answer is Jesus. Doesn't matter what the question is. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. He's praying this. Paul is. And he's praying it from centuries ago over us. Probably now, I guess we could say the Holy Spirit's praying this over us. Paul doesn't even matter. He's praying we have a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him. And we're saying, when we come to church, I don't feel him. I don't feel God. There's a disconnect with some of us. You know, when it shouldn't take the amazing worship that we had this morning to connect with God, but it does help, doesn't it? It does help. It kind of gives us that nudge into his presence a little bit deeper so we can access everything he has for us. But he wants a spirit of wisdom inside of us. And that takes each other, the counsel of each other. Not just, well, I heard this from Holy Spirit and I feel that it's the best thing. Run that by somebody else and see if they agree with you. That's always a good thing. That's a good thing. Confirmation of an older believer in Jesus. See if they get the same message you get. It's helpful. I'm telling you. It's always helped me. But he wants that spirit of wisdom. He wants revelation in the knowledge of him. We say we enter into his presence. That's a revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. When we're sensing his presence in this place and we step towards it, we don't just say, oh, that's kind of a good heebie-jeebie feeling. We actually step into it in the spirit and say, God, what are you trying to say to me? What should I change? What should I be encouraged in today? I'm feeling kind of blah. Will you encourage my heart? We start talking to him in worship. Worship should be engaging of God and not just singing the songs. Oh, I sing every word of every song that's up there. If you do, I'm sorry. There might be a time where you don't and you receive something deeper than what's up on the screen. Are you hearing me? If you sing every word of every song that's put up on the screen, there's some kind of performance issue or something, I think. It sounds like a good idea, but God is going to actually hijack that. And he's going to start doing something deeper in your heart. You don't need the words on the screen. You're going to be in the heavenly places with him. And he's going to give you revelation or a dream or a picture or something. If we're not contending for that, we're contending for way too little. Sometimes I just fumble around with the words because I'm connecting with God. And then I just stop singing and I'm receiving directly from the Holy Spirit. Anybody here have that going on? I think so. I've seen you. Because he wants us to have the revelation of the knowledge of him. And here it is, verse 18. We made it. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. He wants the wisdom, a spirit of wisdom on us. He wants the revelation of the knowledge of him. He wants that our eyes may be enlightened. He wants that we know what is the hope of his calling. He wants us to realize the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as the head over all things to the church, which is his body, in the fullness of him who fills all in all. Are you getting it? He took the resurrection power of Jesus and he put it behind putting wisdom into us, revelation into us, enlightenment into us, hope in us, riches in us, inheritance in us, surpassing greatness of his power inside of us. And we're wondering how we're going to get by today? Come on, something has to change. We've got to be encouraging each other in these things. Jesus is bigger than we're allowing him to be. Jesus is greater than we're allowing him to be. He's more powerful in us through the Holy Spirit, dunamis power, than we're allowing him to be. And he's a drawn up to the anointing. There we go. Yeah. So what is going on? Well, I picture it this way. Take the glasses off for this. You know, when you're an unbeliever, you don't know Jesus. It's like you got this, right? You don't know Jesus. You're bouncing around in life. You have some bumps. You have, oh, man, you trip. You fall into holes. Everything goes wrong. But you don't even know it many times. You don't like it, but you don't know why it's happening to you. Why is this happening to me? Or life goes along pretty smoothly for a long time. And then some kind of big explosion happens and everything goes wrong. What'd I do wrong? Everything was going great. I was nice to people. I didn't hurt anybody. Well, you know, you're not going to get it as an unbeliever. You're just not going to. You have no wisdom of God. You don't have any of these things from Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't live inside of you to even give you a clue what's going on. You need to come to Jesus. And many did last night. And then you have a chance. Then you have an opportunity to understand what's going on with your life. Why did these things happen to me? Well, let's see. I was running my own life, and I didn't allow God to come in with all of this in Ephesians 1. And I got involved with what I thought my eyes should look on. Right? Often it's a relationship. If you're a girl, you say, I need a guy. If you're a guy, you say, I need a girl. They'll complete my life. And now most of us know. Most of us know that doesn't complete your life. Okay? That doesn't complete your life. And even if you go from number one to number two relationship or number three or number 38, it just doesn't complete your life to have a relationship with a person of the opposite gender. And it certainly doesn't complete your life if they're of the same gender. It just isn't it. That's not the highest. That's the American dream. Get the girl. Get the house, get the cars, get the kids. Woo, woo. Doesn't exist. Not like that. Some people are still working at it. I agree with you. Some people are still working at it, but it doesn't end up well, does it? It just doesn't. You got kids that don't like you. You got kids, you know, wives or husbands that, come on. Jesus is the only opportunity you have to get any relationship even close to right. Okay? If you're not married in Jesus, there's no glue to keep you together. Even if you stay together, there's no glue. And you're mad at each other, you know, and you're in your 50s or 60s, and you live with each other, but Jesus is the only one that can change you enough that this becomes the American, no, the kingdom dream. That a man and a woman can actually live together for decades and like each other. That's got to be Jesus. Come on. Have we not learned that? So if our eyes are on those relationships, in the world, that's all they offer, right? You got, you know, the top 40. What are the top 40? I love that girl. And, you know, that's the first 20. And the bottom 20 are, and she left me. With the country western stations, it's flipped. The first 20 are, she left me and went, you know, went and took my hound dog. And the bottom 20 are like, I'm looking for her, though. And maybe she'll come back. Why does the world give that as the highest thing? That's all they have. That's all they have. And so some of us have fallen for it. You know, if I just get a guy in my life or a girl in my life, and I, you know, I'm sweet to them, they're sweet to me, and it's going to last. It's going to last. And wow, when it doesn't last, we're a little shocked. But without Jesus, these things don't work. They just don't work. You don't have any of Ephesians 1 operating in those relationships. You get it? Or, you know, we have the blinders on, but we have our eyes on popularity or money. Money will solve my problems. Have you heard all the stories of the lottery winners? They'll win hundreds of millions of dollars. And their lives are completely messed up. What happened? Money doesn't do it either. Wrong thing to put our eyes on. And that's the truth. What else? Well, I have a list. Popularity, power, influence. Some people think if I get powerful enough, nobody can come against me. Really? Everybody that became an emperor, you know, got taken over by the next emperor. Study the life of Daniel. He went through like three or four guys that were over him, that one guy took over the other guy. And he was the only one that was consistent in all their kingdoms. Somehow they didn't take him out. Why? He was backed by God himself and interpreted their dreams and gave his own dreams and shook in the presence of God and prayed consistently through his life and said no to these emperors. I'm not going to eat your stupid food. I'll eat my own food. He didn't say it like that, but sounds better. And he lasted through all those guys. Each one of those guys took over each other. The world lost. Daniel, who was the kingdom, won. Who do you want to ally yourself with? Ally yourself with the world, the flesh, the devil, or the true king? Ephesians 1 will come into operation and you'll have access to the kingdom things. Possessions. Can we buy enough during Christmas season for ourselves and then also buy a few presents for others? It's not where our eyes should be. Eyes of our heart. They shouldn't be on possessions. Pride, the pride of life. well, these people don't know what they're doing. They might act like they're spiritual, but I know they've got things in their life. Let me just tell you, I've got things in my life. And I'm letting God clean me out, work on me, change me, move in me. Okay? So if you're saying, well, he's got things in his life I don't have to change because he's got stuff. I already got stuff, but I want to change. How about you? Don't use me as an excuse. Line yourself up and look at Jesus and see how much you have to change. And I will do the same thing. See how much I have to change in front of Jesus. Fun, good times, vacations. Some people work all year so they can go on a vacation. And they say, wow, we're going to have so much fun on this vacation. They get on the vacation. Not that vacations are bad or wrong or anything else. I'm just saying, if they put their eyes on that and think, now I'm going to have some fun and I'm going to rest. Often when you ask them, how was your vacation? Oh, they had a hurricane. I went to Florida, they had a hurricane. Or I went to Florida and it was cold. I don't mind going to Florida. That's not the point. Do I put my eyes on that and trust in that, that that's my inheritance? That's the highest? Of course not. Some people want position in the body of Christ. They think, well, that's the thing. I won't get position in the world, try to be a CEO or a CFO or any of those C's. I will do it in the church. I want to serve people. So make me the one in charge so I can serve people. So people will look up to me. So people will think I am next to God. Come on, put me in that position. They need to look at me and say, you're something special. That's wicked. Okay? That's wicked. The people up here leading the charge need to be the most humble people in this body. And we need to know we need to be the most humble people. And some of you tell me that. Thanks. You come up and basically say, you should be more humble. Thank you. Really appreciate that. But that's your job. If I'm not appearing humble, get me off to the side and tell me, hey, your job is to be humble, the most humble out of anybody in this place. So I still have a ways to go. I'm going to keep coming into his presence to become more and more humble. I have to, or this thing will eventually just fall apart. Easily just fall apart. Because there's no personalities at the front that can save a ship when the ship isn't being led by Jesus. And he decides, that front line, gone. Those people became filled with pride, and so I just let the whole thing die. But if it hasn't died in this amount of time, you might consider maybe the people at the top with all the hits that they've taken are learning humility. Are growing in coming before him and saying, God, I know this thing can't go forward without you. I know that Ephesians 1 must be where I access everything in the kingdom and bless people and love people and care about them and serve them. And that should be my highest joy, to see you rise and take your places. That should be the greatest joy, not how far I can rise. That's not the point. I could lead worship every Sunday. I could lead worship every time we have worship. But it's my joy to see others step in and lead us into the presence of God. It's the greatest thing that could happen. Because one day, I'm going to get to heaven before you. Maybe. If Pastor Mary Pat lets me. And she doesn't make me live to be 120. Hebrews 12, turn with me, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 and 3. or 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. So easily entangles us. If we have our eyes on the wrong thing, sin just takes over. We'll be, you know, offending God right and left if we have our eyes on the wrong thing. Because I'm telling you, once you receive Jesus and you take the mask off, this is the sad part. You can put it back on and be operating your life just like an unbeliever. That's serious. And the thing is, it takes another believer often to tell you. It takes another believer often to tell you that. And that's tough, isn't it? To hear from some other believer, you know what? I don't think that's God. What you're about to do, or what you're going to launch out into, or this decision you're going to make. That's the most difficult thing there is to tell another believer, I don't think this has God's smell on it, God's aroma on it. And then they have to trust you that you're not just trying to nail them and try to put them down as some kind of spiritual hotshot, but they actually believe you care about their life and you're trying to help them. That takes a lot. And there are people in here that have hit me between the eyes and I've hit them between the eyes, and we love each other. Now, that's how you build the kingdom. That's how you go to the nations with a small group like this. That's how you go to the streets. That's how you see Gift of Christmas last night and all the unity of everyone here working together to see people come into the kingdom. It's because we've hit each other between the eyes to better each other, to challenge each other, to be more like Jesus. And we've taken it and didn't take offense. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, verse 2, Hebrews 12, 2. The author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Some people think, well, if I, you know, after becoming a believer, man, I still got troubles. I've still got challenges. What he's saying here is, Jesus did too. He had to go to the cross. But what happened after the cross? Resurrected. He took some hits. More serious hits than we will ever take. And yet, what was the result? He was raised from the dead. So that power is within us through the Holy Spirit. So if you're down right now in life, things are hitting you right and left, arrows in your back, arrows in your heart, arrows from everywhere, the enemy's throwing all this on you, saying, you know, it's you, it's you. You need to be condemned. You need to be shamed because you're not living for God, obviously, or you wouldn't have all these hits and all these things. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Because he's the author of your faith, and he'll perfect it. He will have you grow in faith when you're taking the biggest hits, and you'll overcome all of that. That's the thing he's looking for you to overcome through him whatever challenges you face. Because he's wanting to make a testimony out of your life. You, yes, you, not somebody else, just up here giving their testimony of how Jesus changed everything and my life is totally different now and he gave me a house and a job and a family, and not just somebody else. You. He He wants to make a testimony out of you in your life, in your situation. There is no situation, no sickness, no circumstances that you can face that Jesus isn't bigger. He isn't greater. And he can work in you to overcome that. Part of that involves being, like I said last night, being part of a family of believers where they can help you with that walk, that life that he wants to put in you. They can help you experience Ephesians 1 and beyond. But a lot of people, they come into the church, I got bills. I can't just be showing up at church all the time. Jesus has names for those needs. You got bills? Jesus has a name for that. Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. You have sickness? Jesus has a name for that. Jehovah Rapha, God my healer. You need some kind of deliverance in your heart of hurt and pain and unforgiveness? Jesus has a name for that. Jehovah Mapalti, God my deliverer. Come on, give me a problem. I'll give you a name. Better yet, he will give you a name. Because he has a name to meet every need you have. It's whether you want to go to the bank of Jesus and access all that inheritance that he has already put into your account. Even if you became a believer last night, he's already deposited it there. And you can learn how to access it. Will you stay with him long enough, walk with him long enough to access all that he has for you so that you can bless somebody else? You're not just supposed to have your problem solved. You're supposed to be a blessing to someone else. God has to do that. God has to change that around to that point. You shouldn't just be on the receiving end all the time because you have so many problems and so many needs. You should be on the giving end. Well, I can't even imagine that. I have so many problems and needs. That's right. You can't imagine it. That's why he's God. All of us have problems and needs. Why are some people overcoming those? They're accessing the inheritance he has in Ephesians 1. They're accessing the eyes to see. They're not allowing this to be put back on by the enemy or by the world, by the devil, by the flesh. They're not putting their eyes on all the other things we could put our eyes on and saying, that's what makes me feel good. It makes me feel good that things are under control right now. You know, my kids are acting pretty well. My relationship with my wife or husband is going pretty well. I'm getting most of the bills paid. Hey, things are just awesome. I got them under control right now. You want things out of control. I'm telling you, you want to step out when things are like that and try to bless somebody else or, you know, kind of mess it up to see if God will fill in that hole for you. I'm telling you, that's where the fun is. If we just got things under control and kind of managed, that's not kingdom. That isn't. That's not the way Jesus lived. Do you know Jesus was homeless? Jesus was homeless. He was on the streets. He slept outside. Purposely. Why? Because it shows us he can meet our needs easily. He understands. He's been out on the streets. He's been in the cold. He's put his head on a rock to sleep. And we're worried about us? He can take care of us. He certainly can. He took the biggest hit that anyone has ever taken on the cross. It wasn't just the cross. It wasn't just crucifixion. None of us would endure that very well. I'll tell you that. We get a cold and we're like, oh man, I can't even handle this. I'm an American. This shouldn't happen to an American. Have a cold. We have all these commercials on TV to help us. You ever hear the side effects that they give on those things? Oh my God. Oh boy. Just listen to the side effects at the end, you know, where they speed it up. Listen to some of those. It's outrageous. You might have the problem of fainting after taking this medication. You might have stomach problems. You know, you had one condition, now you have four. Hey, go to Jesus. Go to him first. My heart is saying that our eyes need to be fixed on him. I want that heart to come across to you. I want that heart to go across to you so deeply that it affects you this week. Some of you are in a pretty good place. Your needs are met for the most part. And you have some things on the horizon that, oh boy, they're a little bit challenging. Jesus is big enough. Okay? He just is. Well, I'm going to go on a mission trip in January. Where's that money going to come from? Excuse me. We've been going on mission trips since 1996. No one has been left behind. Oh, you can't go. Are you going to be the first? The answer is no. And why is that? Because Ephesians 1 says you have an inheritance. Do you think he's not going to spend some of that inheritance on you to go to another nation? Of course he is. Some of you that need a home, a place to live, you think he's not going to spend some of that inheritance on you to give you a place to live? That's not my Jesus. And this body says, we want to help you with that process. We don't just want to say, hey, here's Jesus, good luck. There is no good luck that we give from here. We only want to give blessing. And it's way over our heads. Way over our heads. And that's good. You look at this small body and you say, man, what could they do? I'm telling you, we've taken mission trips this year to other nations. We've gone to the streets of Canton. We took a whole bunch of people yesterday shopping. Now, how did that happen with this small group? You figure it out. We're accessing Ephesians 1, and we have no idea what we're doing. And it's fun. It is fun. Because I don't know where the funds are going to come from to pay the bills. It doesn't matter. He's always paid the bills. This ministry a couple of years ago was down $50,000, $60,000. And I told the people, we're down $50,000 or $60,000. You know what? This is a good thing. Because now we're going to see God turn it around with this small group. And I cannot tell you how it turned around. But it turned around and we were in a surplus. And we were fixing things in Brazil that broke down, and we fixed things in Ghana that broke down, and we sent extra money to this ministry and that ministry. We didn't just take it for ourselves and say, wow, now we have all this money, we can skate. We gave it away, and it was fun, because accessing Ephesians 1 is not just for you personally or me personally, it's for ministries. And this is one that wants to do that. And we really don't know what we're doing most of the time. And that's what makes it fun. Because Peter didn't have any idea what he was doing when he was walking on water. And he started to look around and even sunk. It didn't matter. Jesus was also on the water. Ever feel like you're sinking? Is Jesus on the water with you? Some of you can say today, he is now. And when Jesus is on the water with you, you're not going to sink very far. because he took Peter and lifted him up and he walked him back to the boat. How do you think he got back to the boat? He walked with him. And he didn't say, Peter, you goofball, what's wrong with you? He said, oh, ye of little faith. That's what he would say to a child. I'll help you with that. Good thing you're with me. Some of you have locked arms with Jesus. Don't let loose of that. Some of you that have been around here a while have locked arms with Jesus. Don't let loose of that. Don't let it get, you know, a little too far away. Don't let this happen. And you've got your eyes on the wrong things. You'll end up in places you don't want to be. And you could be in this body. And I'm smiling. I'm not mad at anybody. Some of you are facing challenges and you're hearing other voices. No, don't do that. Or one's inside. You've got to let those quiet down and hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Because what's he going to speak? Inheritance. He's going to speak, I got this. What's he going to speak? Faith in you. What's he going to speak? Abundance inside of you for whatever you face. Encouragement. He's not going to say, I'm not helping you. I'm not helping you. Forget it. You sneezed sideways this week. I'm not helping you. God is not like that. He's gracious. He's loving. Put him to the test, and you will see. Father, just shared my heart today. You take it from here. Share your heart. You share your heart with each one here, God. What do they need to access from your abundance, from your account that you've set up for them? What do they need to access and repent that they haven't? What do I need to access and repent that I haven't? God, we're all in the same boat before you. We're all your children. We all need to line up with you and see you're for us, not against us. Help us to step in towards you, Lord. Trust you that you really do want to rescue us on troubled waters. Rescue us when we step out for you. Rescue us in our situations, in our circumstances, in our families, in the mess we've made of life. You want to rescue us and redeem that. You are a redeemer. You can't do anything but redeem situations if we fix our eyes on you. If we fix our eyes on something that's false or a false picture of who you are, we won't be helped. But if we can battle through to fix our eyes on who you really are, the Savior, the one that laid down everything. And when you were on the cross, the crucifixion wasn't the hard part. It was the laying of all the sins of mankind on you that separated you from the Father for a brief moment in time that was way too long. But that's the price you paid for us. Then you're not going to leave us as orphans. You're going to come to us as sons and daughters and help us access from you so that we can build the kingdom, so we can have the kingdom flourishing within our hearts by Holy Spirit. You've given us the best first, Holy Spirit. We need to see what else you have to bring to us so that we can have our lives turned around to help somebody else. How can we help somebody else, Lord, if we aren't helped? That's a given. You want to do that so we can bless somebody else. Yes, Jesus, we believe it today. We thank you, Lord, for all you're going to speak into our heart and lives. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.